I had a director of a camp call me a while back and said he had been listening to my teaching, and he said, I have epileptic seizures, and I am the director of a camp of young people, teenagers. And he said, there's nothing more intimidating to be on the platform teaching these children and come down with an epileptic seizure. He said, I hate it. I said, how long have you had it? He said, since I was about 20. I said, you're sure you're a born-again Christian? He said, well, of course. I said, okay, you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and God. He said, yes. I said, okay, when did you make him your Lord? Well, back about 10 or 11 years old. I said, okay. I said, after you made him your Lord, what kind of sin did you get into somewhere between the time you were 10 or 12 or whatever when you got saved, and you were 18 or 20 when these seizures started coming, somewhere in there you done some kind of sin or committed some kind of sin that opened the door to the demonic spirits of hell to come into you, because Jesus clearly told us in his word that these spirits of hell cannot touch us if we do not sin. And I said, so you had to sin. I said, you have any idea what kind of sin you committed? He said, are you trying to tell me that a sin is directly related to what's happening to me now? I said, absolutely. It's what God's word teaches. He said, I've been in church all my life, been to seminary, and I ain't never heard that. I said, okay, don't matter whether you've heard it or not. It's the truth. It's in the Bible. So I said, now then, can you think of any sin you committed before these seizures came upon you? He said, yes. One comes to my mind just readily. Now, if one came to his mind just readily, if he's really a Christian, who was it that brought that to him? Of course, the Holy Spirit. That confirmed to me that the young man was a born-again believer, because we as children of God are led by the Spirit of God, according to the Word of God. And so he said, when I was about 15 or 16 years old, I wanted to go to a rock concert. I went to my dad and told him some of the other boys that were a little older than me, we were all going to this rock concert. And my daddy was a great Christian man, and he said, absolutely not. You will not take part in no rock concert. He said, those things are of the devil. Good advice from a good Christian daddy. So he said, okay, Dad, I promise you I won't go. But he said, the boys came by and picked me up, and we were going to go somewhere else, I told him, but we went to the rock concert anyway. I said, did you know that you dishonored your father? And because you dishonored your father, you opened a door to a demon from hell, and that demon entered you right there, and that's when you started coming down shortly after that with epileptic seizures. I said, now, if you'll repent of that sin, forgive your dad. He said, sir, my dad is dead. It don't make no difference. I said, you repent of that sin. You've asked your dad to forgive you. And I said, and even in the spirit realm, it's still going to be there. God will hear it. He will forgive you. And then I will cast that spirit of hell out of you, because I have been given complete authority and power over the demons of hell when their legal source from us is removed. And I said, as long as the sin remains, the curse remains. I said, in Proverbs 26:2, the Word of God clearly says that no curse comes upon one of us without reason, without due cause. So I said, that's your sin. You got to repent. When you do, then I'll cast the spirit out of you. And he did all that. I cast the spirit out of him. I said, now call me back with your praise report, because I guarantee you, you won't have any more epileptic seizures. And when we do things in the kingdom, do we have to do them by faith? What if we don't do them by faith? They don't work. When you believe God's word and you act on it by faith, it happens. Now then, that's why God said in his word, he said, let every man be a liar, and let only me be true. Well, if he said it, I believe it, and that settles it. About 3 or 4 months later, this young man called me, and he said, Thurman, I have a great praise report. He said, I have not had one single epileptic seizure since you prayed for me. I said, I knew you wouldn't. I said, God's word cannot be returned to him void. I said, he made us a promise. He told you if you would repent, he would restore you to fellowship. He told me if I cast out those spirits by faith in the name of Jesus, they had to go away. And so I said, you know, I knew it was going to work because God had said it in his word. And so the young man was free. One of the couples I talked with this week, they were talking about the problems they're having with their children and themselves. There was an epileptic problem there too. You go back and say, well, how long have they been having this? 10 years, 15 years, whatever. They tell you, okay, let's go back there. What happened 10 years ago, 15 years ago when the seizures started? Was there a divorce? Yes. Was there unforgiveness? Yes. And you start talking with people that are Christians about their sins. God said in his word, once we get married, how many divorces should there be in the church? I mean, what'd God say? None. He doesn't do things like we do things. But do we all need a Savior? Aren't we grateful for the Savior? So it makes no difference how many sins we commit. If we come to the realization what we're doing is sin, we can come and ask Him to forgive us. And will He forgive us? Yes. What kind of God do we serve? A God that's in the book. A God that's in the book. Now, I want to show you, we sang about that song. One of the songs we sang today was one of my favorites of old. We stand on the promises of God. You know, I was in a Baptist church and sing that standing on the promises and never had a clue what it meant. Standing on the promises. Oh, standing on the promises. What promises? Which one are you standing on? Well, I don't know. Well, I mean, for what are you standing? I don't know. I never saw an answer to prayer. All those years I was in the Baptist church. But I sang those songs, and I believed those songs with all my heart. I just didn't know what they meant. Well, the Word of God is full of promises, and today we're going to talk about some of those promises. We're going to start in John 14, and I'm going to show you some promises starting in John chapter 14, verse 1. We're in the NLT here. Don't be troubled. You trust God, now trust in me. Jesus is talking. There are many rooms in my Father's home, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. If this were not so, I would tell you plainly. So the king left here to go to prepare a dwelling place for who? Us, his children. Why is it, if we know all these things and we know we're going to die, why is it that when somebody in the church loses a loved one, why do they go berserk? Do we not believe these promises? He's gone to prepare a place for me. When I give up the ghost here, where am I going? I'm going home. Praise God, I'm going home. I mean, I'm looking forward to that. That's why when people couldn't understand when my wife and daughter got killed 11 years ago in a car wreck, and I never shed a tear. They could not believe it. They thought I was going to fall apart. Why aren't you crying and screaming? I said, hey, the girls beat me home. I said, I don't know what God's plan is for me, but He left me here to struggle. They got to get out of this mess and go home. And they're at home with Jesus now. And somebody said, well, I wonder if your wife's thinking about you. I said, I guarantee she ain't thinking about me. I said, my wife loved diamonds. I could never buy her a very big one. I said, the biggest one I ever bought was probably maybe a quarter of a carat or whatever. I said, she's up there and Jesus is letting her set on diamonds this big. She ain't looking, thinking about me. She's thinking about Jesus and what He's given her. Thurman, who's he? If you're in heaven with the king, there's something up there to think about. You know it? Wow. I mean, He tells us in the Word, He's going to prepare a place for us. And can you imagine what your place is going to be like? I'm going to guarantee you, He knows exactly what He made you out of. He knows what you like. He knows the kind of furniture you like. He knows everything about you. And don't you think that your home is going to be perfect when you get there? It is heartbreaking to think about losing a mate or a daughter or a son. But hey, as Christians, I think about a little lady that was in here the other day. Ask her a question. Somebody had threatened her life. I said, are you concerned? She said, no, if they come out and kill me, praise God, I just get to go home to be with Jesus. She wasn't the least bit concerned, was she? I thought, now, you know, there's a little lady that really knows Jesus. I'm telling you what, you better make sure you're ready. Because do you know some of those people that got killed in those storms up there had to be Christians? They probably didn't know Psalm 91. They probably didn't know the promises of God. Because if they had have known the promises of God, what could they have done? They could have stood on these promises of God. I mean, I heard a Baptist preacher the other day. It was amazing. He was talking about Kenneth Copeland and Gloria Copeland. He called their name. He said, you know, they tell you have power over the storms. You can speak to them in the name of Jesus and they'll go away. He said, but let me tell you, that's not true. Let me tell you, that man don't know the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, I've spoken to storms. I do not know how many times and commanded them, but they went away and didn't tear up me and my property. That didn't mean they didn't tear up the neighbor's stuff. But God told me, as an obedient son, I can speak to the storms. In fact, did He speak to the storms? Yes, He did. He sure did. First of all, He's telling us about He's going to prepare a place for us. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. Every time I look at that scripture, I think about Miss Maida Pennington, that little old lady. Oh, she was a member of the Baptist church up here, and she was, I don't know how old she was, but she was pretty old, and she wore a red dress often. That dress went plumb to the ground, and she took little steps about this long. You know, she was just the sweetest little thing. I love little Miss Maida Pennington. She was the sweetest little lady. But she come to church every Sunday. And then one day, Benny Craver was our pastor. And one day, he heard Miss Maida Pennington had some kind of a problem, and they'd taken her to Denton to the hospital. So he goes up there that afternoon to visit with her. When he gets there, she was sleeping, and so he said, well, I'll just sit here and read a book for a little while and visit with her for a few minutes, you know, just be in the room. So Benny said, I was sitting there in the room, and all of a sudden, I heard something, and I laid my book down and looked, and Miss Maida was looking to the left. Her eyes were open, and she says, John. Now, that was her son that had died a few years ago. She said, John, that's you. Now, she was seeing a boy, hers, that had died two or three years earlier and had already gone to heaven to be with the Lord. He was a fine Christian man. And then all of a sudden she looked and she says, and John, that's Jesus with you. She recognized the King. Now, then, how do you reckon she recognized him? Because she had never seen him. But the Spirit of God that's in her, he recognized him. He knew who he was. So she raised her little hand up like she's going to grasp John and Jesus' hand. And just like when she squeezed their hand, her little hand went, fell down beside the bed. She was smiling the whole time. And Benny, he called the nurse, nurse, come in here. And she come in and checked her and he says, I'm sorry, she's gone. Well, Miss Maida wasn't sorry. She got to see Jesus and she went home to be with Jesus. He had prepared a place for her in eternity and she got to see him come for her when her place was ready. That's going to happen to every one of us that are believers. When he gets my house ready, he's coming to get me. Like I've told Cheryl and everything, I said, if she happens to be left, and or any of y'all, if I'm here and I were to fall down on the floor and y'all check me and said, I believe he's dead. Okay, you can rebuke that death spirit if you want to, once or twice, but if I don't come back pretty quick, forget it. You know, forget it. I'm already with the Lord. I do not want to come back to this place. And whatever you do, don't nobody dare call 911. Because if you do, you call 911, then I'm going to resurrect myself from the dead and get you. Because I don't want to come back to this place. When I get to heaven, I don't want to come back. No. I'd much rather be in heaven where they're all believers because there ain't going to be no unbelievers in heaven. He's going to come back for us. And you know where I am going and you know how to get there. Well, there's a lot of people that don't. It says here, no, we don't know, Lord. I remember one time I was watching E.V. Hill, great Baptist preacher, wasn't he? Man of God. And he...
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Holy Spirit Empowerment, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.